Plus 49.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Plus 49. Today, I'm your host, Marlene Bacher, and I'm so happy you're joining us for another edition of this show. In this episode, we'll take a look at what's been making headlines. A new study that questions Germany's use of welcome classes for refugee children, heated debates over reforming the 8-hour workday, and fresh data showing that migrants still earn significantly less than locals across Europe and North America. Plus, Berlin prepares to shut down its largest refugee shelter at Tegel Airport by the end of the year. In our culture segment, we'll explore a very sweet German tradition, making marmalade at home. From classic strawberry to creative mixes with spices or even a splash of gin, we'll unpack why cooking and gifting homemade is still such a beloved ritual. And our guest this week is Sophie from EZB Berlin, who shares amazing tips on how to transform your balcony or terrace into a green oasis and how to choose plants that truly fit your lifestyle. So, let's jump right in. Let's take a look at this week's news from Germany. A new study from Martin Luther University Halle-Wittenberg questions one of the country's main integration tools, so-called welcome classes for refugee children. Researchers analyzed data from over 1,000 young refugees and found that students integrated directly into regular classes learn German more efficiently than those placed in separate preparatory groups. Long waiting times before enrollment, sometimes over 6 months, meant children often had little contact with German-speaking peers. Even years later, former welcome class students had weaker language skills than classmates who started directly in mainstream schools. The researchers recommend faster enrollment and direct integration into subject lessons, especially in primary schools. Meanwhile, Berlin is preparing to close its largest refugee shelter, located on the grounds of Tegel Airport. At its peak in 2022, the site held 5,500 people, but by December it will be replaced with a smaller container facility designed for short-term stays. The move comes after criticism of the shelter's cost, which once exceeded €1 million per day. In economic news, a new study from the Frankfurt School of Finance shows migrants in Europe and North America earn nearly 20% less than natives. In Germany, the gap is about 19.6%, largely because migrants have less access to well-paid jobs rather than because of unequal pay for the same work. Researchers argue that tackling prejudice in hiring and improving access to training and networks are key to closing this gap. And finally, Germany's long-running debate over working hours is heating up. The government is considering moving from a strict 8-hour day to a weekly maximum of 48 hours, in line with EU rules. Supporters say it will allow more flexibility, like compressing full-time work into 4 days, while unions warn longer days increase health risks and erode worker protections. Summer in Germany doesn't just mean long evenings in the beer garden or bike rides through the countryside, or mostly rain. It's also the season of preserving fruit. With orchards and berry bushes bursting, many Germans spend their weekends over bubbling pots, turning strawberries, apricots, currants, or plums into homemade marmalade. It's a way of capturing summer in a jar, so the taste of sunshine is still there on a grey January morning. I think we all need a bit of sunshine those days. Homemade marmalade also allows endless creativity. While strawberry remains the classic, you find everything from plum vanilla to kiwi apricot, also cheekily called Kiwi-Kosen-Marmelade, on German shelves. Recipes vary not only by fruit, but also by sweetness. Instead of the standard 1-to-1 sugar ratio, many now use lighter 3-to-1 per serving sugar for a fresher, fruitier taste. And for those who like a twist, spices and spirits can be added. Ginger, cardamom, or a splash of Cass's liquor give the spread a personal signature. But why do Germans so often make marmalade not just for themselves, but also to give away? Well, in a culture that values thoughtfulness and practicality, homemade jam is the perfect gift. It carries a personal touch, showing the giver took time to pick fruit, cook, and package it. It's also unique. No two batches ever taste the same, making each jar a little one-of-a-kind creation. Add the fact that you control the quality of the ingredients and avoid artificial additives, and you can see why it feels more genuine than something store-bought. There's also a sustainability angle. Making marmalade using seasonal produce, sometimes even from your own garden or a neighbor's apple tree, and preserve it for months. It's both thrifty and environmentally friendly. Plus, Germans love a bit of presentation. Jars are often decorated with handwritten labels, fabric covers, or ribbons, turning them into small, charming gifts. And there's a deeper social tradition at work. Food is connection. And a jar of homemade marmalade is an invitation to share a breakfast table, a reminder of summer, or simply a sweet way of saying, I thought of you. In a country that sometimes has a reputation for being reserved, gifting something made by hand becomes a quiet but meaningful gesture of care. So the next time you're offered a jar of homemade German marmalade, know it's more than just jam. It's a little glass of summer, thoughtfulness, and tradition. And if it tastes anything like my grandmother's does, it really, really is tasty, and I can definitely recommend it.
When you arrive in Germany, one thing is for certain. You will see that everything is green, that there's a lot of input in your balcony, or even if you just have like a little thing, you will do everything that it's possible to have it green. And this is because I've realized that Germans, with the Schrebergartens, they do love their plants, but we also know that we need to take care of them. And this is when Sophie comes in, because Sophie, welcome to the show and tell us all about your amazing work.
Oh, thank you for having me. I don't know how you found me, but I'm glad you did. I've worked as a gardener for small spaces since 2020. Before that, I was a visual artist. I have horticulture certification from Capel Manor in the UK, and I do garden design and garden care for small spaces like terraces, balconies, and small gardens.
How was it for you to start your business here, and especially this type of business? Is it normal in the UK to have like a terrace and also take care of it the way that you do here in Germany? Or is it this something that you see that at least in Germany is a little bit more than any other way?
And gardens in the UK, it's a totally different setup. Mostly people have gardens, they have a semi-detached house and a garden. Not that many people, in my experience, would be that interested in balconies.
So you have at the moment consulting under, if I'm correct, EZB.
EZB Berlin.
And in EZB Berlin, I can contact you and we can do a little consulting, or not a little, but a consulting about my balcony and what I can do with it.
Absolutely. I do initially a free online consultation, and that usually goes to a real life consultation, which usually goes to a plan, and then install a plan.
Yes, it's kind of weird, but how easy is it actually to take care of plants? Because I think there's always this saying that I don't have the green thumb, so I don't want any plants dying in my house.
Oh, it's totally dependent on your level of interest. People who are interested, they always grow a green thumb. People who prefer to have plants just as a decorative element, it works for them to have someone take care of their plants for them. They might have time pressure. They might be from a cultural background that's completely different to the one they're in, and they don't understand the weather or the seasons. I'm here to help with that type of thing.
That sounds lovely. We're back with Sophie. She has her own consultancy and she's owner of EZB. She helps us clueless people to have plants And so how did it start?
Well, back in 2015, I studied horticulture at Capel Manor. After, let's go back a bit further. After a long time of being a visual artist, and in my childhood, I was always gardening. I always dragged containers like filing cabinets and furniture into my mother's garden, and she would absolutely hate it because I'd fill them with soil and grow carrots and things, and she thought it looked dreadful. So then I decided to be a cool person and do cool person things and say goodbye to that side of myself. So I was a visual artist for a long time. And then I had a chance to make changes, especially in 2020, researched for about a year, and then started the business with some help and ideas and input from some friends.
What would you say that it's the first step in order to have a terrace and some plants on it?
Well, I would say the most important thing is to find out how many hours of light you get. But that's wrong. The most important thing is to have a vision of how you would love it to look if you didn't have any limitations, and then work back from the fantasy to the reality. Bring it into reality whichever way you can, with your budget, your light, all these conditions. Find a compromise between fantasy and reality.
And of course, have a terrace, which is something that at least whenever you're looking for a place to live, I see always that people are posting online saying like, I'm looking for one bedroom, but it has to have a terrace. I think the terrace culture in Germany is something to look at.
Oh, it's a thing for sure. Yeah. And even if people don't have green thumbs, they'll throw up some green plastic flowers just for the neighbors or passersby to look at.
I think it's beautiful.
It's a thing.
It is quite interesting because, for instance, if you are in Latin America, since you have so much sun, you don't think about making your terrace a little bit nicer because it's sort of, you go out and you have flowers everywhere.
That's exactly what I've heard. My Brazilian customer told me, I don't understand this. Where I come from, the plants just grow.
Yes. Again, it is something that when you go from another country and you arrive here, and especially because, at least in Berlin, sun is very weird. If there's sun at any point, the first thing that you realize is that having a terrace, it is important. Second, the light. This is something that you in, I would say, like southern countries, you don't really think about because the light is always there. And if you ask for a terrace in Mexico or any place around the southern place, you will never be at the terrace because it's so warm that it's just like, oh yeah, I have a terrace, but they don't use it. They never use it. And here's quite the contrary. It is a culture.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I imagine Latin America, everything's so beautiful and there's so many plants. You probably don't even need to really have a terrace.
Yeah, but we're in Germany and that's why we have you, Easy Bee, and you're helping us making our place a little bit more comfortable.
For sure, for sure. I'm helping people do more with their balconies than store endless beer crates on them.
What is the love plant in Germany for Germans?
What do they love? They love a tall, thick hedge. That's perfectly trimmed. Sorry, guys. That's what they like.
By the way, Marlene, our producer, she just laughed. So I'm guessing this is true.
It definitely is. I know it from all the gardens around. Everybody has their hedge, and it's always cleanly trimmed. So this is definitely German, and we love that.
Do you have any plants at your home, Marlene?
No, I actually don't have any plants. I had a cactus for a while, but we separated.
Not on good terms, maybe.
I mean, yeah, it just didn't fit the vibe anymore. So I had to say goodbye to him.
I totally understand. I've really never met a cactus that fits the vibe.
Exactly.
Like, usually the vibe they give me is throwing out spines whenever I try and do stuff with the other plants around them.
It is very interesting because it was this point where everybody was having succulents, And it was just like, yeah, look, this is so, I don't know, so vibey, so demure. And
and mindful and demure. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, do we have a trend right now regarding plants?
Purple. People really into their purple plants. Like for outdoors, for indoors, you'll pay like a bit more money just for the purple version of a perfectly ordinary plant. Like with the purple leaf.
With a purple leaf. That's
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a big trend. I don't know if it's ending for like dark colored purple house plants.
But the trend of having a plant or having places with a lot of plants started also being a thing, I think, between after pandemic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was kind of this feeling of we cannot go out, so let's get all the plants in, as well as a lot of people got puppies and dogs and everything. So maybe it was this because of COVID.
Well, it does make life better being able to stare at plants. But I think maybe some people got in a little bit too deep and now they're looking at some rather expensive dead plants.
So in case that, would you recommend that if you do not have the time, would you get a plastic plant?
There is plants that are so low maintenance that you don't need to resort to the plastic plant. We don't need that.
For instance?
Well, there's a winter hardy group of plants that are succulents called sedums. And I know not a pretty name really, sedum. I always hate saying it, sedum. But they're really good. They're very drought tolerant. You can put them in a balcony box and they will really do well even if you don't look at them. They thrive on neglect.
Interesting. We should definitely put some of your examples in our social media with your interview so we know what we can buy for the future.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the German name for those type of plants, they used to call them feta henna. Checking that with you, Marlene?
We'll definitely check on that. again, Marlene and myself are just nodding and saying yes, because this is a whole new world. And I love that there are people outside like you, Sophie, that are doing this, because it's something good, not only for, of course, the environment, but also your internal feeling and finding yourself in your zuhause, in your comfy place, and surround yourself by beautiful plants.
It does make things better. It does make things more comfy.
We're back with Sophie from Easy Bee. And Sophie, so do you have any recommendation for, let's say, a beginner about a plant that it's easy to water, it's easy to handle, and so sort of start, what would be the starting point of having a plant?
Well, you have to like the plant. You have to like the way it looks, but there's different options for shade, for sun. I would start with something like ivy, a nice climber that's very simple. Maybe brighten up the ivy a little bit with something simple that's also colorful. Say, I don't know, something for a shallow balcony box, like maybe calendula. You can grow those from seeds, or auf Deutsch, they're called Ringelblumen.
What about orchids? Because I've seen so many orchids in offices, and I always see them a little bit down, to be honest. So what is the proper care of orchids?
No, I say no. Leave them for the botanic gardens. Visit them in the botanic gardens.
Why is that?
They have quite specific substrata requirements, and people get upset because they don't bloom all the time. They bloom and then they need a rest. And often that's the time you find them thrown out on people, throw them out on their windowsill or on the street. And it's just a matter of waiting for that plant to come back. But people often don't understand that.
Yeah, it is also very sad to see that. It happens a lot. What about if I have a terrace that does not have a lot of sun?
Oh, yeah, you're not limited there. There are tons and tons of plants that have a liking for shade. The big question is, do you like to sit out there? How do you use the space? And then we find the plants that work. Mainly so also about finding plants that fit someone's time budget, not just financially, but how much time they have. So for shade, you can have some beautiful ferns, you know, violettas or pansies. They've got gorgeous colors and they'll grow in the shade. They've got tons of options.
And regarding, for instance, winter.
Winter.
It is something for me, as we were talking before we came into the show, I have a bougainvillea because it reminds me of Mexico. But of course, the bougainvilleas are known for a sunny place and a warm place. So I always take her inside and she hates it. And then she gets all down and all the leaves go away. I really am expressing the feelings of my bougainvillea on air, but yeah, I think she doesn't like it. And then I take her out again and then she blooms and it's all that part. But how about winter? Can I have a plant that normally it is from the sun, but during the winter, what should I do so it doesn't die?
Well, you're totally right about the bougainvillea. It just hates going into the house and instantly skeletonizes, as I call it, drops all its leaves. But for winter, I say you want to build your structure with perennial plants being ones that come back year after year. So they'll give you that background structure that you can add to in the summer and spring. I think perennial shrubs, for example, well, most shrubs are perennial, that have bright colored stems like the dogwood, Latin name, cornus something or other. They give you a bright stem in winter, even when they have no leaves.
And is there a meaning on a specific plant that you have understood in Germany that is, for instance, again, I'm sorry that I have to go back all the time to Latin America, but in Mexico, they say that if you have a hydrangea in the house, you won't get married. Is there any superstition about a plant here in Germany? Because I don't know if there is.
Well, I'm just so English. I'm just so Irish. I only know really the cultural heritage of most plants in England and Ireland. For the Germans, I'm not sure. I don't have a clear answer for that.
But for in Ireland, do you also have like a plant that has a specific superstition?
Oh, it's endless. Mainly it's about not bringing things into the house because they're bad luck. That's the Irish thing. Everything is inhabited by the fairies and you can't bring into the house because they'll leave thorns in your bed. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. I love the idea of the fairies. So Sophie, how can we find you? How can people that are interested in consulting with you in your small business, how can we find you?
You can check out my website at ezbberlin.com. You can send me a message at ezbberlin@gmail.com. You can add me on Instagram, ezbberlin, and you can just shout out your window. I'm usually around pushing a car full of plants around the place. Just shout out your window. I'll turn up.
That's lovely. Sophie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was fun.
Last 49. Ask a German.
Every year, this isn't particularly seasonal, but every year the plastic eggs come out on the trees. Why? At Easter, the small plastic eggs. Why? I mean, we don't do this in Ireland, but we love Easter. We don't do this in England. We love Easter. Why are the Germans with the plastic eggs? Why plastic? And then why do they get forgotten and they hang there like until Christmas, getting all faded and weird? Please tell me why.
If you've ever walked through a German neighborhood in the weeks before Easter, you'll notice something striking. Trees, bushes, balconies and windows decorated with colorful eggs. And yes, many of them are made of plastic. For outsiders, it can seem a little quirky, but for Germans, it's a beloved tradition. The egg itself is an ancient symbol of fertility, rebirth and new life. Ideas that align perfectly with spring and the Christian celebration of resurrection. Decorating eggs has been a part of Easter customs in Central Europe for centuries, originally with dyed or hand-painted real eggs. But over time, practicality entered the picture, and that's where plastic eggs came in. Unlike real eggs, plastic versions don't spoil, smell or break. They're lightweight, weather-resistant and reusable year after year. which makes them especially handy for decorating trees in the garden or balcony exposed to wind and rain. They also come in every possible color and pattern, from simple pastels to glittery designs, so families can easily build their own collections and even pass them down. There's also a safety aspect. Anyone who's tried hanging real eggs outside knows they can crack or fall. Plastic eggs solve that problem. And they're pet and child friendly. Plus, they can be opened and filled with small candies or toys, which adds another playful element to Easter celebrations. In many ways, Easter egg decorations are to spring what Christmas ornaments are to winter. Just as Germans carefully decorate their Christmas trees with glass bubbles and lights, they welcome spring by adorning shrubs and branches with eggs. Both customs turn the home and garden into festive, colorful spaces that bring families and neighbors together. And finally, Germans simply love traditions that can be personalized and crafted. We just heard so with the marmalade. Plastic eggs aren't just store-bought. Many people paint or decorate them themselves, adding glitter, stickers, or even little fabric bows. For kids, it's a fun seasonal activity. For adults, it's a nostalgic way to connect with childhood memories. So while plastic eggs might look a bit kitschy at first, they perfectly capture the German mix of symbolism, practicality, and a love of seasonal decoration. That's all for this week's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much to our guest Sophie from EZB Berlin for sharing her balcony and terrace wisdom. I'm sure a lot of us are now inspired to get our hands a little greener. At least I am. If you enjoyed today's stories, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. You can also follow us on Instagram for more behind-the-scenes content and updates. We'll be back next week with more news, culture, and conversations from Germany. And until then, maybe try your hand at a homemade jam and let us know how it went. Tschüss!